Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
City Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Hey, back with you, top of the hour here on Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Currency. He's Damon Benning, I'm Andrew Rogers, and we are live from the H&H Chevrolet stage at Hail Varsity Club. Thanks for joining us, 590 AM ESPN Omaha, 1480 ESPN Lincoln, live on Twitter, live on YouTube. And now I'd like to bring in Alex Baugh. Baugh is the head coach of the boys basketball team at Lincoln Southwest. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate you, man. It's always a treat when we get to talk to you, and in particular on a personal level, man. I enjoy the heck out of you, man, and congratulations on a good start to the season so far.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Coach, Lincoln has produced some really solid basketball up to this point, and that won't be changing anytime soon. You guys are currently eighth in the class. One big one tonight against Lincoln East. A two-part question here for you because you've had about a week off. How did those 7 days get this team ready for today? And what's the rivalry like up in Lincoln in games like this, especially because of just the sheer level of competition we get to experience every Friday night in Lincoln?
Well, to start, I mean, I think these breaks at this point of the season can be a blessing and a curse at times. I mean, it's nice to get a one-game week to prepare. But, you know, the challenge is, you know, keeping guys focused and locked in for an entire week of practice. The rivalries in Lincoln are insane this year. You know, Lincoln is as talented top to bottom as it's been in as long as I can remember, and I don't think anybody disagrees with that. So, you know, whereas it used to maybe be one or two Lincoln games you'd have on the schedule that would pack a gym in a season, it's night after night, weekend after weekend. We're getting full gyms every night. So we got to be ready to go against East tonight, just like we've had to be in every Lincoln game to this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking to Kevin Suits a couple of days ago, and I asked him right after the Hack tournament if he was ready to make any bold predictions about – Lincoln High School basketball, and very sure. Calm, cool Kevin Suits, like he said, I think I'll wait. There's this round robin schedule coming up the next 3 weeks. Let me sort it out. It has been a gauntlet. And if you're trying to play the math linear game of A plus B equals C, so C equals, that doesn't work. How in the world are you negotiating the scout versus opponent performance versus what you think you bring to the table? Do you just simply make it about your guys?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, the scout in Lincoln is pretty easy because we know each other so well.
That is true, like, especially the kids.
You know, so the kids know each other, the coaches know each other, so East knows exactly what to expect from us tonight, and we know exactly what to expect from them. I think the key to this season has been, you know, I think if you remove Bellevue West, I think this is as wide open as Class A has been in as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got Lincoln incredibly talented top to bottom. I think what you got to do is just hang in there. You know, I mean, you're not going to win every game in Lincoln. No one's going to. No one has. And so it's just building towards playing your best basketball by the end of February, and it's making sure you bring it every night against Lincoln opponents because you're going to have to win games.
Alex, offense can come in all shapes and sizes in high school basketball. It can also come in a lot of different ways. I mean, for your group, it's the long ball. You guys like to shoot the three. Now, Southwest is 9% above the national average for three-point attempts, but have made 36% more than the national average projects by this point, too. So, based on this model of being a perimeter-heavy offense, what goes into your prep as a coach to draw up plays in order to get your shooters open and play to their strengths?
Well, you know, those are stats I was not aware of. I appreciate you running those past me. I'll have to double check with my coaching staff to see if those are stats that we like. We want to get out and run. So it starts with transition for us. And, we've got the athleticism to do it, and that's our program philosophy. I mean, we want to play fast and get up and down and make plays in space. So, you know, a lot of that starts with us hopefully getting defensive stops, pushing the ball fast in transition, putting some pressure on the rim, and then having guys that can stretch to corners in transition and knock down some threes. So, you know, I don't know that we have any one just bona fide lights out shooter, but we've got a lot of guys that can make it from the arc and a lot of guys that can attack the rim, and so it opens that up.
I go all the way back to, and this is pre you winning a state championship with True Blood and those guys, obviously. Yep. Covered you a ton. Yep. Doing your broadcast. This is fascinating just because you and I both know, I've seen so many of these kids since they've been young. So I've yep. seen the Ryland Smith, the Chuck Loves, you got Helms, you've got Frager. Yep. You got a ton of options. How do you know how you want to play to make sure that you're complementing all your strengths?
Oh, that's the – I mean, I think that's been the biggest challenge.
I didn't even mention Boom, who I think is integral too. So it's like, you got options.
Absolutely. Oh, we've got so many options.
Yeah.
That if we as a coaching staff, I think, tried to micromanage it and make sure we got the ball in this guy's hands at this time and that guy's hands at that time against this opponent, I think it would be a misstep. So I think our upside – is our ability to have it be any guy on any given night. And so if you can just get guys to play hard, share the ball, mm-hmm. and play on instincts, that's where you have success. The challenge becomes is getting a lot of, and we don't have selfish guys, but getting guys that are as capable offensively as every one of our players is to live with the fact that one night it might be 20 and the next night it might be 6. You know, so it's a lot of psychological management and emotional management throughout the season and trying to get everybody on the same page that our one goal is sharing the ball and winning games.
We're talking to Alex Baugh, Lincoln Southwest head boys basketball head coach. Toss him a follow on Twitter at @Alex_Baugh. DB just talked about the grouping of players on your team, I should say. But let's talk about your team's leading scorer now. What's there to love about Chuck Love?
Oh, I mean, he can really put it in the basket. I mean, he is a special talent that I think is, you know, you forget that he's just a sophomore. And I think he's maturing every day and expanding his game every day. So he's a real offensive talent. He's got a ton of potential defensively. And I think it's been games for him when he recognizes how disruptive his links can be defensively. That it leads to offense for both him and us. So I'm just excited to see how he continues to progress because so much of his best basketball is ahead of him, and he's already played really well as a sophomore.
I know we've only got to get you out here at 8:12 because you're the duality of a coach-teacher. Two quick ones from me. I'll get into East and the scout here in a second, but – you know, we do NEB preps every week with Jacob Padilla, and we really try to cover and scour high school basketball. So we watch you guys close. And the last couple of weeks, Braden Frager has really started to kind of come on. We knew about – well, I've known about his athleticism for a long time and his versatility. I think he's kind of finding a fit now within your offense.
Yep.
How key a cog – do you think his evolution has been as you kind of want to play for the long game in late February?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why he falls under the radar as much as he does.
I agree.
He's right there at talent level.
Yeah.
And the most important piece that he does for us is he rebounds. So he is an outstanding rebounder. And then when we want to push in transition like we do, when you have a guy that can rebound as a big, really, lead the break, go coast to coast, advance the ball, he's just a pretty versatile offensive player. He's shooting it well from the arc for us this year. I think he's close to 50%.
He's close to 50%.
Yeah, and so he's taking good shots from the arc and showing that he can stretch defenses, and then when they come out and guard him there, he can use his athleticism and left-hand drive to get all the way to the rim, and he's an incredible finisher there, as you know.
So let me get to the East real quick before we get you out of here. You, Coach Campbell, it's funny to watch you guys. You're kind of old school in your mentalities, and you guys never really embraced the AAU summer circuit, so you guys stayed lower-level coaching kids, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the evolution of guys like Carter Mick, one of my favorite two-sport athletes. We know about Temple Meyer. When you look at East, what concerns you tonight outside of the fact that you know they're going to be well-coached?
Oh, they're going to be well-coached. They're going to be disciplined. They're going to defend. I mean, they're going to compete. And I think similar to us, they've got a lot of offensive weapons in their starting lineup. I think one key that maybe the average fan overlooks is it's going to be really important for us to keep Melissa. They're big off the
starting to come around, isn't he? He's starting to come around.
Yeah. And that's going to be a big challenge for us. But they've got a lot of guys that can do a lot of things. They shoot three well. They put it on the floor well and can get to the rim. And they're so good at getting to 2 feet that when you think you've got a drive stop, they're running cutters on the backside, and you just got to stay on your toes all the time defensively. The one thing I will say that we like going into this game is they want to play fast, just like we do. And so I do think this game will get to a tempo we like, and we won't necessarily have to work for it to get it there. And so it should be a fun game to play and a fun game to watch.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Hey, next time we get you, Coach, you know I want to pick your brain about ball screens and the lack thereof, man. It's always fast.
I love that. We can get into the weeds, stand anytime you want on that stuff. Love to talk
about that. My favorite. I appreciate you, Coach.
Enjoy school.
All right. Thanks, guys. I will. Bye.
He's one of the few really, really good coaches.
Right.
That's not a huge fan of ball screens. Doesn't like adding extra defenders, and his philosophy is fantastic. I think there's other ways I can get guys open shots, and kind of his evolution, how he wants to coach, man. He is and it's great too, because his son's pretty good. They coach youth basketball, and neither he nor Coach Campbell want to get in the weeds with the AAU high school summer Well, we heard Coach Campbell a couple weeks ago. He's like, hey, full disclaimer, I coach the young guys. I stay out of that drama.
Hey, I'll tell you what too, if this is a coach that has won a state championship before, I'll buy into not setting ball screens. Something was working.
He's fantastic.
When he won at Elkhorn South.
Absolutely.
And he's a good leader. And leadership comes in a lot of different ways. And you received some information about leadership just a few moments ago.
Yeah, just talking with one of my guys. Because we were talking about recruiting, right? And he's a huge fan of another school in the Big 12, and I don't often like to say their name. It's just typically horns down when he and I are talking. But, you know, we're going back to leadership and being authentic, and he says, you know, to be a good leader, when you're recruiting, you have to first know what you're trying to accomplish. If there are folks that have worked with you before, they understand your vision and intent. So to me, that's implying the guys that Coach Rule is kind of bringing in the fray and guys that know him. He says, if you don't, you have to reteach those folks. More of your time can be focused on helping the newer staff along. This is just funny. You know, he's like an example I'll give because he's always around young people, which is why I like him. His daughters are fantastic. He says, I coach YMCA basketball and have done it for years. He says, the first session is always hectic because none of the kids know what to expect. If I have a kid rejoin me in the second session, the kids that had me before are familiar with me and know the drill and my expectations. It's so much easier. And I think the reason I like that is because some have made light of comparing and contrasting bringing over a full staff.
oh, Coach Frost brought over his guys, and that didn't work, and none of them have experience at the Power 5 level, and this, that, and the other, right? And then we got the compare and contrast. I was getting all those pie charts, right? And it's those Venn diagrams on coaching experience and youth and how they have less Power 5 coaching experience than this staff or that staff, and some cause for trepidation. And I always think, and I don't know what you think about this, sometimes the trump card to inexperience at a certain level can be familiarity with how you go about your business. And I don't know what the give and take is in that, in terms of that, because I don't have enough case studies.
Right.
But there is something to be said for familiarity and being able to get on the same page, which we've seen this Nebraska staff. That's why they've been able to get off and running.
Right.
Right?
I mean, no, I'm with you.
It's not just the leadership. It's just what Coach Satterfield tell us. I know exactly what he's thinking. He can be off doing this, this, and this, and our staff is familiar enough to know this is what we need to be doing in the meantime.
Right, which is why I said earlier on in the show, I think they're the exception to the rule after hearing, no pun intended, after hearing Lance and you give your guys' perspectives from another coach's viewpoint, because it is unfair to maybe pool in every single coach throughout this recruiting process, because Matt Rhule sets an expectation for this area that is maybe so out of the norm.
This is a different time, right, in high school athletics, right? There is a lot of really good players. And fresh on the heels of losing the Gatorade Player of the Year in Flores, I think there's this heightened level of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And remember, Coach Rhule said it himself. We need to keep our in-state guys in-state. Like, he's been unabashed about saying that, so everybody can see the real progress. Because the misnomer was is that Coach Frost didn't do a good job with kids in-state. Actually, relatively speaking, did a pretty good job, especially his first couple of years, with keeping kids in-state. Now, you know, he misses on Mike O'Reilly Ducker and Caden Helms and Keegan Johnson and some guys like that. But for the most part, given the talent level, it's kind of a little bit of revisionist history. And Coach Rhule is going to have his work cut out. But I do think when he tweets things like enough's enough, I think that's a lot of what he's talking about. Like, you just can't – as the state school, you have to make it uncomfortable for folks just to come around, right? The more I think about it, it's intentional. Oh, you're here for the second time during the day? You want to let that school know that you're still here.
Right.
You want to let that other school know that you're just now leaving, right? It's like, I don't know. I just think it's fascinating when I look at what I think they want the finished product to be in terms of fit. I read the article last night. A guy on Twitter sent it to me, Jeff, from Mike Farrell. Who, Shane, we should probably grab for the show, about why he thinks Matt Rhule can work at Nebraska. And it's hard not – it was hard for me reading that deal from Farrell to not be all in, like, yep, he's exactly right. Because he's saying, from his perspective, in full disclosure, he's like, I don't even know Coach Rhule like that. I just know guys he's coached with and guys he's coached against. I'm an East Coast guy, so I have connections. And this is what I'm getting. He's all about fit. And all I could do after reading that, I was like, that's all you and I ever talk about with why I think he's gotten off to such a good start is because I told you right after junior day, when you're comping the 20 guys in that room and you're basing it on something that you've ever – oh, Mason Goldman. Yeah, Mason Goldman's a lot like this guy, and he can do this and with this frame. And it's like when you're talking to Mason and you're doing that, that's why you cancel visits to other schools.
Right. And it's cool because it resonates with everybody.
Oh,
His message of fit goes with everyone. Do we have time for trivia? We only have about 6 minutes left in this segment.
Do I have to leave?
I'll kick you out. Let's play. I think we could get it done in 6 minutes.
All right.
All right. DB, yeah. Headset off. Just come back in about 3 minutes. I'm going to bring Mike in on the show. Mike, good morning. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. Hey, you're playing for a Hale Varsity Club gift card, a $25 gift card to be exact. All you got to do is beat DB in trivia. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, you get answer choices. He doesn't, but he does get one Hail Mary in order to get the answer choices for one question. But here's your first question. Caitlin Clark joined Dwayne Wade earlier this week as the only women's or men's Division I players with a triple-double versus an AP top two opponent since 1999. What Conference USA team at the time did D. Wade play for? Was it Louisville, Marquette, or Cincinnati?
Marquette.
Question number two. Frank Reich was named the head coach of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, the sixth head coach in franchise history, excluding interims. Who was the longest tenured head coach for the organization? Was it Dom Capers, Ron Rivera, or John Fox?
Oh, I'm going to say John Fox.
And question number three, Mike, contrary to popular belief, it was Scott Rolen who was elected into baseball's Hall of Fame, not Mark Grace, Shane, just so you know.
Who's Scott Rolen?
He won a World Series with the Cardinals in 2006. Who won World Series MVP that year? Was it Albert Pujols, David Eckstein, or Chris Carpenter?
I'm going to do, I don't know, Albert Pujols.
Okay, and your tiebreaker question, how many total career points does Caitlin Clark currently have? Just throw out a number. Closest one gets it.
No idea. Let's just say 500.
500. Thank you, Mike. Shaner, can you go let DB in? We're going to bring DB back. Mike, how's your day going?
It's going, man. Enjoying myself on coffee and cream right now.
Hey, I love it. I love it. We appreciate you having you on the show. DB, it seems like you've got your work cut out for you. You excited? Mike, I'm going to keep you on the line. Feel free to react anytime. Just don't give away any answers. You are coming off a loss.
Yeah, Kendall got me. Although he had audience help, so there's since there's no
But then
pressure.
You tied Shane.
Okay.
No, you beat Shane.
Okay.
You beat Shane. So,
so
you technically you're off a win. Okay, we got about 3 minutes here.
All right, I'll hustle.
Question number one. Caitlin Clark joined Dwayne Wade earlier this week as the only men's or women's Division I players with a triple-double versus an AP top two opponent since 1999. What Conference USA team at the time did D. Wade play for?
Marquette.
DB, question number two. Frank Reich was named the head coach of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, the sixth head coach in franchise history, excluding interims. Who was the longest tenured head coach for the organization?
That's my franchise.
That one got me. I'm glad I had the choice.
It's either it's either Fox or Rivera. Give me John Fox.
And question number three, contrary to popular belief, it was Scott Rolen who was elected into baseball's Hall of Fame as a part of the 2023 class, not Mark Grace.
Wow.
He won a World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2006.
You're a child.
Who was World Series MVP that year? Remember, you do have the Hail Mary left.
God, was it Eckstein? Give me
the answer choices.
Yeah,
it's either Albert Pujols, David Eckstein, or Chris Carpenter.
Ooh. Is it the obvious? I think it's. Give me David Eckstein.
And tiebreaker question: how many career total points to this point does Caitlin Clark have?
Oh, Lord. Are you serious?
Yeah, just closest to the number.
How many years has she been there? Two?
I didn't give that to Mike, so I'm not going to give that to you.
So let's let's see. 35 games. She goes 20 a night, so that's at least 700. She has 1,500 career points. 1,550.
1,550. Changing his mind. Thanks, yeah. DB. Let's go through them. Mike. Can you win a gift card? The answer to question number one, D-Wade played for Marquette. Nice job, both of you. Each got it right. The longest tenured head coach in the Carolina Panthers organization is indeed John Fox. You both got it right.
Let's go.
And the World Series MVP in 2006, Mike, oh, unfortunately, God. It was not Albert Pujols. It was David Eckstein.
Let's go!
DB takes you down, gets three right, and if it helps, you didn't get the tiebreaker either. Caitlin Clark is 21-98. Mike, we appreciate it.
We should give him a gift card just for that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll give you a $10 gift card. Yeah, I'll write your name down.
Stay on the line with Shane.
We're talking to Robin Washett next.